We are the nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Very lovely morning to you, Lagos. 8 minutes past the hour. Great morning. Thank you for joining us, Lagos, Nigeria. We're streaming live on Facebook and on YouTube as we speak, so you can join our conversation on those two platforms. This morning we'll be talking about the biggest story in the country today, and that is the resignation of the former CJN Justice Tanko Muhammad, and the incoming CJN, the acting CJN, as a matter of fact. And we want to know exactly what the intricacies of what had happened, especially to the Nigerian judiciary. Liberal Oshoma is a legal practitioner, also a public affairs commentator. He joins me via the telephone this morning. Liberos, lovely morning to you. Thank you for joining us this morning on the show.
Yeah, good morning, Shay. My pleasure.
Any moment now, we'll be joined by an associate professor of public law, Richard Wokocha, all the way from Port Harcourt, and he would also be diving into the conversation this morning. Liberos, let's get started as quickly as possible. Was there a crisis with the judiciary? To be honest, to be very honest, was there a major crisis with the judiciary?
There has been a major crisis in the judiciary long before now. But just that typical of a conservative profession, like the legal profession in Nigeria, see evil, hear evil, but don't speak evil. So that's why, you know, there's been this pretense that, you know, all is well, but ordinarily all is not well. And that's what eventually led to the outburst that we saw at the Supreme Court, where 14 justices, for the first time in the history of Nigeria.
First time?
You know? Yes, first time. First time. The other time was an accusation against nine justices by Chief Ganipa, if you remember, that they were gifted Mercedes-Benz vehicles by the president, you know, that they weren't official cars, they were personal cars. And so he challenged, the Concord newspaper published it, and then the judges of the Supreme Court sued Concord for the libelous publication.
Right.
So, but in this case, for the first time you have 14 justices of the Supreme Court, you know, there were, even before the petition, the allegations that a peace deal was supposedly brokered between, you know, a former justice who is now an emir, who is very close to the retired
CJN.
CGN. And also, as at the last Justice HMB, when he retired at his validity section, you know, he also drew allegation to the fact that the ICPC should be allowed to look into the books of the judiciary at the Supreme Court, because all is not well. That ordinarily, before now, it has never been this bad. You know, so those were pointers to the fact that truly and indeed all wasn't well, until, you know, the outburst and then the petition we saw. Though some have argued, the first and foremost, before we even get there, we knew it's a notorious fact, it's not something we need to recount, how the current CGN became CGN, despite the fact that in Rivers State, the same scenario played out in Rivers State, and the judge was cautioned and punished for allowing himself to be sworn in as CJ, despite the refusal of the Supreme Court, of the NGSC. But in this case, the same scenario played out at the center, and who now punishes the CGN, who, even before this administration, appoints about 80-85% of the members of the NGSP.
Hmm.
And it was a strong, what do you call it, point against previous government. I remember being on various platforms with Alhaji Lai Mohammed, who condemned vociferously the composition of the NGSP. I remember being on the platform with Professor Ishes Sage during the Justice Ayo Salami's and Katsina Lu saga, who also condemned the composition of the NGSP, that something drastic must be done about it. But unfortunately, these people, you know, now have people in government. One would have expected that these issues that we campaigned against would be the first steps that would be taken to addressing the enforcement or a punishment against people at the highest cost. But all of this, we all swept them under the carpet. Even when Justice Onumba's issues came up, you know, everybody, because, you know, at that time, because of the support that the president enjoyed, you know, it became a political discussion and we left the substance. So that's why it now, you know, incompetence has really the head. But some people also have argued that it is not about incompetence, because some of the issues raised are issues of allowance not being paid and the training not being attended.
Let's take these things because that's where we're going next. Let's take it one step at a time. Well, let's look at the one that is most paramount as far as personally to me. The justices of the Supreme Court saying that at the Supreme Court, they don't have steady power. Like, they literally just ration power at the Supreme Court. They don't, their vehicles are dilapidated. They're not in good shape. They don't have assistant, legal assistant. They don't have some of the justices don't have accommodation. All of these things, is it fair? That's where I'm going. Like, that's where I'm going. Is it fair to blame the CJN, to put the blame of all of these things on the CJN? Because the CJN responded and said that, look, this is Nigeria happening to us as well.
All of us. But also, as a proviso to these allegations, if you look at the bottom, they also stated, despite the fact that all of these were accommodated in the budgetary allocation. So if they were accommodated at the in the budgetary allocation, that is why, you know, some persons have the view that, okay, let's look at the books.
Yeah.
Yeah, even this, you know, so it is only when you look at the books, you now know what came in, what is available to spend.
Right.
Until that is done, you won't know if what was budgeted for was, you know, because here, you know, in other climes, once money is budgeted, it is deemed appropriated.
That's right.
But here, you know, appropriation means that, you know, it's spent as at when due. But here, money can be budgeted and you won't even see
it. You won't see it.
They say, yeah, you won't see it. They say, in June, we purchased cars for the Justice of the Supreme Court. And that we need like 10 billion to do that. And by May, the Minister of Justice, the Minister of Finance, ordinarily ought to have released that money without questioning. But if by June, July, the Minister of Finance says the fund is not available, it beholds on the leadership.
Yeah.
So at least they meet regularly. It beholds on the leadership to say, well, on this item on the budget, we are still waiting for the ministry to provide funds for this to execute this. So this item cannot be appropriated now because there's no fund. So, but when that is done, like they say, in the absence of information, rumor tribe. So when there is no information, there are conjecture. People will conject anything. That's where I was going when I said some persons have argued that the CGN might just be a frugal person who does not like spending money. He would rather want to save. You understand?
Right.
You know,
right.
How do you know that this money was saved if you do not look at the books?
That's right. Liberals.
That's why all of them are saying.
Liberals, thank you for sharing that thought. It's 19 inside the hour. We have joining us right now, Associate Professor of Public Law, River State University of Science and Technology, Professor Richard Wokocha, who joins us live right now. Thank you so much, sir, for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you here on the show this morning. Thank you. It's a pleasure to know that you are there this morning. I will come to you with my question in a moment, but let me quickly. Okay, I think it's sorted now. So what's your assessment of what happened? First, the letter from the justices of the Supreme Court, and then the reaction of the former CJN, and then his resignation yesterday.
Well, I think for me, the last part, the resignation was expected for anyone who had any honor, as he should have. Even though this is Nigeria and you expect anything. But it was for me the saddest moment of our judicial history that we had the situation where the judges had to resort to protest. Not just the judges, but the judges of the highest court of the land. That things got to a situation where they had to speak out. It's not a regular thing. It's not what we expect. Even the judges of the lower courts, where things have been very bad, have not had to protest. But for things to have come to the point where his lordship kept quiet and they gave signs, they spoke to him, they wrote to him privately, and he did not do anything. Most especially that things got to that point where they needed to react, was for me the lowest point of our judicial history. And I think, as I told some of your colleagues, it was a point beyond which we could not go. It was the lowest, and we needed to do something. So it didn't come to me as a surprise that he resigned yesterday. But I think you still need to look at the books. You still need to do what needs to be done. Every public expenditure is voted with intent to be accounted for. There is no witch hunting here. There is nothing about a place being so hallowed that inquiry should not be made. It's public funds, and it must be accounted for. The last justice who retired from that court, Justice Ejembi Eko, did query the fact that funds are being allocated, additional funds are being allocated, but they are not seeing those funds. They are not trickling down to the average judge in the court. And she called for us to look into that matter. And as I said, it's public funds and the judiciary is self-accounting, but it must account. So if things have gotten to the point where the judges had to speak out and say, look, we are not seeing even what we should work with.
Right.
Not to talk of the fact that it should have been higher, given the increase in votes to the judiciary. It calls for a specific inquiry, a specific examination of what is going on and what the head of court is doing. And for me, that has not stopped with the resignation. That needs to go on.
Gentlemen, we are almost due for a break, but I want to throw this question out here before I go take some calls. Liberals, please listen. Professor Richard, please listen. I want us to look at what this says about the autonomy of the judiciary. I know that people would say that, yes, the legislature, they've been doing their own. People have accused them of corruption here and there. The executive, they've been doing their own. People have accused them of corruption as well. Now we're talking the judiciary, the last hope of the common man. And conversation is tilting in this direction. I want us to look at the perception of the import, the impact, the effect of the direction in which this conversation is going on the image of the judiciary. And not just the judiciary, the Supreme Court of the Republic. But let's just hold on to that question. Let's take one or two calls. Because if we start delving into that now, the break will, you know, creep in on us, and they won't be able to do justice before the break. But let's take a few calls. Hear from, you know, Lagos first, then we'll go to break, then we'll come back and talk about that. Okay. Good morning to you. Yes, good morning to you.
Yeah, this is Pastor Ladiko.
Quickly.
Calling from Module Gomu. Sharif, my question to those, your guests this morning is this. Which law are we running Nigeria on? Is it a common law or a Sharia law? Because we understand that this CJN, his area of socialization is on Sharia. So I believe that is where some of those mistakes come from. That is why we must put round peg in a round hole, not square peg in a round hole. Thank you and God bless Nigeria.
Thank you too for calling. Let's take another call. Nigeria Info, good morning to you. Morning. We can't hear you. We can't hear you.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, better now. It's better
okay.
now.
Okay. Yeah, well, I just want to add my thoughts to the other caller. You know, it's just unfortunate. It's quite unfortunate. Just like one of your guests has rightly said. I mean, these are the people being held in high esteem. You know, whatever things, whatever, you know, preparations might be happening within, it should be kept. But when things are like that, I mean, people are supposed to be pacifying people, and the people are not the one pacifying them. You know, it's like, I mean, the house, that is not safe. And, you know, a house that works against itself can never stand. And that's what we are seeing. Thank you.
Thank you, too, for calling me. I appreciate it. Liberos, quickly, let me ask you the question. Pastor Ladipo, the first caller asked about whether there is me. I want to know whether there is any implication of someone being, you know, a Sharia court judge and then being in Supreme Court or CJN. Is there any connection at all?
Is that question for me?
Yes, Liberos, yes.
You see, let me lay foundation before I answer that question.
Okay.
You see, a lot of us have clamored for the decentralization of the Supreme Court, including the current Minister for State for Labor during the ministerial screening. A situation where you have a land matter from Erumu Gowon, and then the matter gets...
Liberals, you know what? Let's come back to this question. But right now, we need to step out and take this break, okay? We'll come back. Please hold your thought. We'll come back to it. Prof. Liberals, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
We report, you decide. Topical conversations that matter to you.
There are people for personal, religious, whatever reasons who do not want to take a vaccine. Mm-hmm. And I think they have the right.
They cannot go to us to stop insecurity. It's to force people to take vaccine. Let them come and kill me. I can never take it.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Welcome back from that break. Let me up front apologize for the long break, and let me explain why we had that long break. It's because from the hours of 10 a.m. to noon, we would not be having commercials across the 2 hours because we have a special broadcast coming up. We call it the Roundtable. Our stations in Abuja, Port Harcourt, and Lagos are linking up to bring you one program called The Roundtable, where all our OAPs will gather and discuss some of the big stories that have trended in the year 2022 thus far, at least for the first 6 months. So we've cleared the 2 hours for that conversation. That's why the ads, the commercials have been moved to other hours. So I put sincere apologies, you know, for that development, all right? But it's to serve you better for the 10 o'clock hour. It's something that everybody is looking forward to. For those who had joined before now, you know how interesting that roundtable program is always. Let me head back to the current program crossfire right now. Associate Professor Richard Wokocha joins us on Zoom this morning. You can watch live on Facebook and on YouTube. Liberos Oshoma, a very well-known, respected legal practitioner and public affairs commentator, is also joining us via the telephone. Gentlemen, thank you again for joining us this morning. Liberos, let's come back to you. You were making a point, you know, about the question that a caller, you know, asked earlier about the suitability of the former CJN in holding that same position, and you're trying to chronicle some things. Please go on.
Yes, yeah, I said. So I started by saying that, take for example, you know, land matters, for example. Customary land matters, customary land holding, you know, you take such matters all the way to Supreme Court and the judges will have to decide on it. And so, ordinarily, these are matters that should have been handled at the state Supreme Court level. So, what now happens is, because of that, you now find a situation where you will need to elevate a judge, a customary court judge, all the way to Supreme Court, where you need to elevate a Sharia court judge all the way to Supreme Court, so that in case matters like that comes up, you know, he would be vast. He who is vast in such area would be able to educate, you know, all other judges. But the question now is, if after spending, what the presumption is that after spending a number of years at the Supreme Court, you will also have understood and understudied the administrative nuances there. And so if you become the CJN, you should be able to, play that role perfectly. But I don't think it's a case of being a Sharia court or not.
Okay.
It is more of incompetence. Mm. It is more of lack of capacity. Even if you were just the normal, you know, the high court judge, and is incompetent, the incompetence will still show. Mm. And also, coupled with the fact that he's been having health challenges, also he cited health reasons for his resignation.
That's right.
He's been having health challenges also. So all of this put together shows that from the word go, the person who occupies that office must be very competent. He must be able to juggle so many things.
Right.
And then because of sycophancy in Nigeria, the issue of the chief registrar also was raised. A situation where a chief registrar, who should ordinarily be the head of administration of the courts to manage, you know, some of these cases, assignments and the rest, and then the paperwork, you find them having to kowtow to the whims and caprices of not just the CJN, including the family members of the CJN, because of dispensing of favor, because there are largely no division of labor. The buck stops at the table of the man who is at the head. So he detects everything.
Right.
You see cases, I've watched a movie, I don't know how true, I've also read books, where in some cases, a governor issues, in other societies, not in Nigeria though, the governor issues directly to, you know, a permanent secretary.
Mm.
And he says, look, sir, this is wrong. This is contrary to the principles guiding, you know, the civil service rule. But it doesn't happen here.
Mm.
A governor will issue instructions, just the same way a CJN will issue instructions to registrar.
Right.
Despite the fact that somebody who is a lawyer.
Mm.
Despite the fact that you know that this is not in compliance with the provisions of the rule.
Right.
You will go ahead and do it. Mm. So these are the problems.
All right, Liberos.
At the end of the day, who disciplines such a person?
Right.
When he appoints those who should oversee,
it's a very valid question. Professor Wokocha, let me come to you because we have less than 4 or 5 minutes to go on the show this morning. Let's talk about what this means for the judiciary, the allegation of misappropriation of funds, corruption against the former CJN. Do you think it'll have anything to do with the image of the judiciary, not just the judiciary, like I said, the Supreme Court of the Republic?
Certainly. It will have a whole lot impact on the public perception of the integrity of the Supreme Court, of the judiciary as a whole, and the Supreme Court especially. This is a most uncommon development. It's something you hear in some other realm, in some other levels of courts. But this is the first time in our history that we are encountering this from the Supreme Court.
Right.
It's a sad one. And it will give the impression that there is the capacity to do wrong in our Supreme Court. We don't relate with the Supreme Court justices, and we don't relate with the Supreme Court except in its adjudicatory function at the highest level of adjudication of contestations. But for the first time, something is coming from the Supreme Court, which is not normal. It's not what we hear every day. So what would you definitely do is leave an impression on the mind of members of the public that there is the capacity to do wrong in the Supreme Court. But we do not have an alternative. Anyone who has any contestation will still end up at the Supreme Court.
That's right.
But definitely damage to the mind of the average litigant.
That's right. Associate Professor Richard Mokocha, we'll have to leave it here this morning. Thank you so much for joining us on the program today. Always a pleasure to have you, sir.
Great pleasure.
Liberal Soshoma, thank you again for joining us. You're always, always ready to talk to us anytime we call on you. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Lagos, this is how far we can go this morning. But before I go, Isoke is here. And Isoke is looking very bright and sunny. And
thank you.
Not cloudy and rainy.
Well, I mean, I have some bright and sunny.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info.